Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God, the world did not come to an end. It would seem we got a prize fight. Well, what prize? New North American Treaty signed. That's a good thing. And we got all kind of horse hockey in the news, too, about everything. Mostly that Trump's wrong, no matter what he does. So what ended? What began? Obviously, the world didn't end. What can we expect now? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there going, hey, you know, where's all this stuff that's supposed to be happening? Well, I'd like to know that to myself. What can we expect now? That's the question. And exactly what are we fighting for anyway? Is it a freedom? Is it a freedom from? Is it only my way? You know, there's a lot of considerations. And even, and this is really important, even with all the exposure and promises, when, you know, there's a lot of inquiring minds that would like to know, when exactly are we going to see what we've been promised was going to happen, that you was going to do? Could it be that the timeline, I'll say it again, could it be that the timeline went from one day to days following, a week or more, maybe, sort of kind of maybe? Are we going to see promises kept? Do we get more excuses and cop-outs? What is it? What do you expect for the involvement? Well, there's a whole bunch of, I'll say crapola, that people would like to try to pander off on everybody. We got one in Weekly Standard, safe learning environment. An exploding market for school security equipment services caught our attention. It's now a $2.7 billion industry. Woo. A figure that doesn't include the millions spent on armed campus security officers, metal detectors, facial recognition software, pepper ball guns, whatever those are, bulletproof whiteboards, don't ask, bulletproof backpacks, high-tech surveillance systems, private security guards, trauma kits, plans for active shooter drills devised by security consultants, all peddled by firms eager to for government contracts. That's corporate speak for money, and purchased by schools eager to cover their posteriors with other people's money. Other people's money. Here's the problem and the question and everything kind of rolled into one. The only problem is no one has the slightest idea if any of it makes kids safer, as in a safe learning environment. You get all this gun violence, horse hockey going on. Everybody wants to pay attention. And all this fun and games is in addition to the obsessive coverage by national broadcast and print media for several weeks after each shooting event. What's the point? Do you got any more information, new information, or are you just analyzing bullshit? That's what these guys, and I posted a thing in Cosmic Voice on Facebook page. The end of the world has been going on since, let's see, I think the first one was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2500 B.C. Make you think about that one. Oh, my. Let's see here. Okay. So, you got endless interviews, witnesses, family members, and the search, this is it, for the shooter's motives. Well, you're going to find that there was no excuse. It just seemed to be the thing to do at the time. You shot your husband. And the blonde said, told the judge, yes, I did. 400 times? It was a heavy flow day. And I used a machine gun. It was easy. No bump stocks, just straight up machine gun. Oh, dear mom, right now I'm scared to death. Oh, boy, I hope you'll be okay with me gone. Friends were crying. Thought they were going to die. Well, when you got some dinglebat that goes into a, and I quote this loosely, gun-free zone because of the easy targets, maybe they should get a little surprise from somebody who is not only carrying a weapon, but knows how to use it, has been fully trained, and does not like the idea of somebody, some dinglebat, for whatever reason, coming in and hurting the kids. Ooh, is that where the flesh trade goes, hurting kids? Well, I've been hearing rumors from the Pentagon. Oh, yeah. You know, they're supposed to do, supposed to be frontline assistant with the mass arrests and all this other stuff. Over 60,000 indictments, three quarters of which got arrest warrants for high crimes and treason. Woo-hoo. Well, that's nice. Makes a nice, makes an impressive pile of paper. My question is, are you going to use it as it was intended to be used? Or did it just turn into butt wipe? It's going to sit there until the pages are eaten up by them little bugs that crawl around in libraries and eat the ink off the pages. You know, you've seen them. But, hey, kind of a bookworm sort of deal. And they ain't worms, they're bugs. And we got this stark warning. Ooh-ee. A study published last week by the National Defense Strategy Commission. Ooh. Should sound like the record scratch that brings the party to a stop. Think about that. Woo. Kalunk, kalunk, kalunk. The security and well-being of the United States are at greater risk than at any time in decades, the commission concluded. American military superiority, the hard power backbone of the global influence and national security, has eroded to a dangerous degree. My, my. And the problem? The Budget Control Act of 2011, which capped military spending as part of a Capitol Hill deal to keep Treasury from defaulting on its debt. Really? No, you're a bit late. Quite a bit late. Oh, man. In 1867 was the first bankruptcy. You hear me? Oops. So it wouldn't be the first time. And then you got the, you know, people are ignoring the debt. They don't give a shit. Why should they? They don't see that they have to pay it back. Well, why? Well, because we switched it off of us and the corporation back to the public so that they could pay our bills for us. Now you understand what free lunch does and what it is. Rokana. Democrat, Representative Rokana, Democrat, California, remarked via Twitter, there's no doubt that we need to stay competitive with Russia and China, but we don't win by building up our military. Oh, I see. What do you do? It obviously has gone well past that. It obviously is not some kind of source for discussion by you, or you would know better than to say that. If the United States wants to maintain its current commitments and meet the demands posed by growing threats, vastly more is needed. That was that's on $700 billion now. This is called running up the credit card above and beyond the call to duty. And there's this one-page ad, working together to find and fix security risks across the Internet. Google, you're a liar, Google. You're causing more problems than you fix it by a long shot. And then we got the never-ending soap opera of Brexit going on. So we got to get into a couple of things. One of those is racism that's sanctioned officially. Think about that very carefully. Racism that's sanctioned officially. There is no way to offer everybody a seat when there's a limited number of seats. Doesn't work. And I don't care if it's a job, college, or what. Doesn't matter. What you have to bear in mind is what this song says, and I want you to really, really think about this.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Well, now, out of curiosity, anybody listen to the words of this song? Oh, boy. We got a couple of issues, major ones. And one of them deals with racial preferences, as I mentioned just before we listened to a little music. Looking back at Bach, okay, that's a lawsuit. Are racial preferences in admissions permanent? The answer is a resounding no. And there's a reason for that. if I remember correctly, usually I try to keep it straight. Sometimes I forget things or who I am or what I'm talking about and all that, and it gets fun on this show. But anyway, I remember back at a point in time, quite a few years back, where unions and others, along with individuals already in companies and whatnot, filing lawsuits about racial preferences. Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy. It's called affirmative action. Ooh. You got to diversify or you got to go. Well, what is that? What, you know, who says? Nobody says. That's the problem, except the legal system. Well, here's a case where the legal system, and I do mean the legal system, per se, the majority of it, made law from the bench. Think about that very carefully. And the case is Harvard College has been defending its admissions program since charges of racial discrimination brought in federal court. Ooh. Ironically, this is not the first time Harvard's admission practices have lain at the heart of an important case that could affect college enrollments across the country. There was, after all, reasons of the University of California versus Bach, B-A-K-K-E, however you pronounce it, decided in 1978, which remains the most significant case in the lengthening history of affirmative action in higher education. That's just higher education. Well, then they started adopting it to jobs and a bunch of other funny games. The issue in Bach was the legality of racial preferences used by medical school at the University of California, Davis to assemble a class. Five justices agreed for different reasons that the school's admissions program, which operated effectively as a quota, was illegal and ordered the admission of the plaintiff, a white student named Alan Bach. But, now you know there's always some kind of exception, but a different set of five justices rejected the notion advanced by Bach that the admissions program may never use race in selecting the student body. Ooh, five other ones. For the latter group of justices, there was a way not only for a medical school, but also for a law school, another professional or graduate school, and indeed for an undergraduate school to administer an admissions program that legally uses race, legally discriminates in deciding among applicants. Well, my goodness. And they've got some interesting standpoints to that. That's Regents of University of California versus Bach. You want to look it up? You want to study it? You want to see what you know what all goes on? And then you want to find out the appeals court apparently racial. Here it is. Okay, accordingly to the new age liberal socialist take on things, racial classification must be justified by a compelling government interest, and it don't got one. It doesn't have one. Powell said that in the context of higher education, there was one and only one such interest, that of diversity, which he interchangeably referred to as ethnic diversity, describing it as, pay attention, only one element in a range of factors a university properly may consider in attaining the goal of a heterogeneous student body. And guess what? Employers grab that sucker and run with it. Oh, man, we're letting all these guys in. Why? Well, as trainees and all that, we don't have to pay them full wage. Oh, always comes down to money somewhere or another. The other factors included leadership potential, demonstrated compassion, and work and service experience. But ethnic diversity is a different kind of factor, said Powell. A special concern of the First Amendment. What a crock of crap. Free to pursue it, a school can make its own judgments as to education, including the selection of the student body, which, when sufficiently ethnically diversified, can engage in that robust exchange of ideas which discovers truth. Ooh, lofty goal indeed. What a crock of BS. Ethnic diversity is also different in another respect. It is the only factor whose use is potentially discriminatory, violation of federal law and the Constitution. What's it take to change something? Well, I mentioned one at the end of my little diatribe that I wrote up. Are we going to see kind of promises kept? Do we get more excuses and cop-outs? This right here is a cop-out. Not a matter of separate tracks for races or the percentages of a student body that should constitute, but one of wide exposure, that's a lie, to the ideas and mores of students as diverse as this nation of many peoples. That's a lie. Uh-huh. You heard me. Oh, boy. What I would suggest is everybody needs to listen to this next song because it deals with a lot of what's happening in such a manner that you can understand it and appreciate it and use it. Listen to the words. my. I hope you listen to that song and listen to the words of it. Dream on. Well, I knew a man once. I was a little kid, but I knew a man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King. We talked for a while. I listened to my parents talk with the man. I listened to what he had to say and what he wanted to accomplish and a few other things. And I have a dream where you look and judge a person not on the color of their skin but the content of their character. You've heard that one. Now, let me hit this again. Not a matter of separate tracks for races or the percentage of a student body they should constitute, but one of wide exposure to the ideas and mores of students as diverse as this nation of many peoples. Well, first of all, the wide exposure has been violated, illegally violated. You want to take away First Amendment rights? You better set yourself outside the United States. You tell me that safe zones on colleges promote wide exposure of free speech? And just how in hell are some are people who are going to become, at one point or another, some of them, leaders, if they're one-sided? Refuse to be exposed to differing ideas and differing takes. What are you going to do? Well, I look at no conservative addressment on any campus. And the administration going along with that. Racial preferences. That is basically discrimination. But it's sanctioned, so they can do it and get away with it? No, they can't. And there's a whole load of lawsuits right now going on stipulating that. Oh, you've probably seen this. Brenda Snipes, Broward County Supervisor of Elections, she retired. Basically, this whole thing says how to screw up a machine recount. No, how to intentionally screw up a machine recount. And this was not her first. She's jumped into the fire a few times out of the frying pan. And it continues. They got a humongous number everywhere of dead people. I'll say it again, dead people that I call zombie voters on the voting rolls. And they're voting. Now, who in the hell is directing that? Oh, we can't clean it up, I want to bet. How about we put your butt in jail and we'll clean it up for you? Think about it. That's coming. Here it is. Do we get more excuses and cop-outs? Well, I've been covering the California fires, among other things, watching what goes on. And if you look at our Facebook page, you'll find pictures. That's right, pictures of high-energy directed weapons keeping the fires going and or starting new ones. Ain't lightning strikes. Think about that very carefully. And they can operate that sort of thing from what used to be supply aircraft. You fill it up with gas tanks and some electronic equipment, that thing can fly all the way around the world just about. Now, and I've noticed this in other places now, Anna Van Wright's reported the correct green beam just before the earthquake. That's an earthquake machine in operation. Now, that's airborne. They got them both ways, airborne and subterranean. Who did it? Who's in charge of setting those California fires and burning people up and killing 100 people? Why is another question. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting reports from Australia that the same shit's going on down there. Well, let's backtrack. Used to be, and it wasn't that long ago, it was easy enough for somebody who wanted to escape cacophony, the extraordinary noise, the extreme mental pressures and all the other happy stuff dealing with society in general, and to keep yourself from going off, you know, getting a gun and going and shooting a bunch of people just for the fun of it, you go out in the woods, out into the wilderness. And over a period of time, whatever it took, according to your mental strength and your defined character, the anxieties and tendencies toward ridiculous acting out subsides, goes away. Calm, cool, peaceful, collected. That's what you get out there in the woods. Well, some time ago, they decided, and I'm saying they, that royal they deals with a combination of the cabal, our government, and those who facilitate the things that go on. Years ago, they started playing games. First place they played games was Florida. They decided to drain the swamp. Well, how do you do that? Well, you build a road right dead through the middle of it so the water can't flow. Ain't nobody going to catch on to that. Well, it used to be a sheet wash flood plain. That's where you get an inch or two of water, and it flows over everything. That's what a sheet wash flood plain is. And the whole of Florida, the majority of it, was that way. Well, if you drain the swamp and cut the water supply off, pretty quick the critters get out of there. I don't know of too many things that can survive without a drink of water or food to eat. But it also did something else. The people that lived in the swamps, the swampers, they had to leave. Why? Well, the swamp was drying up. Can't live in the Everglades. Ooh. That's a violation of federal law. You can't live in a place where it's specialized to support wildlife. Yeah, right. Anyway, few and far between. The lifestyle of being able to live off of the shellfish and critters at inlets, rivers, and a few other places in Florida is gone. Now we're getting invaded by Komodo dragons, giant boas, you name it, and then they're eating everything, including each other. So that's going to be a dead zone pretty soon. And humans are being beginning to be targeted. So, you know, it's not going to be, you're going to have to carry a gun down there to defend yourself against the wildlife. Consider that, and you better be good with it. You better be able to hit your target at least 2-3 times, at least. And you better carry something big enough to mess it up. So that's Florida. Well, the bayou, move over. The Mississippi River Delta area, all of it, not just the part they call Delta now, but the part that has been Delta 500,000 years ago. Was a combinational swamp area, covered a large portion of everything. Even today, if you go across certain portions of interstates and main roads down there, you will be on bridges. Why? Well, they couldn't build a road in the water, that's why. Anyway, the problem they had was that these people were independent. Funky independent. Hey, stand up and tell the sheriff, you better get out of here. You're going to get shot. I don't see you. You don't look like you're carrying a gun. I said, no, but my two cousins and my two uncles got you zeroed in. I think you best get back in your whatever and get out of here. You don't tell me what to do in the woods. It's a matter of survival. That's how they eat. You catch something to eat. You know, it's simple. It's not complicated. Well, along comes British Petroleum, better known as BP, and on orders from the cabal, cuts loose with enough oil to kill everything. You heard me, everything, all the way down to the sea bottom. wiping it out. Huh. Well, then sometime long in through there, our illustrious President Obama decided to put the screws to the hillbillies. Why? What were they doing? They's giving him the finger. Hey, boy, go back to Kenya where you belong. You need to be in Africa, not here. Oh, boy, did that make your hair stand on his. So he cut the throats of all of the rednecks in the area by shutting down coal. Now, Appalachia ain't exactly rich in it by any means. Most people just barely survive around here, or they survive reasonable, but they got a lot of expenses like land and cattle and whatever. But here's the thing. The ones that were making a living at the coal mines are closed. They've been closed, but they're opening back up slowly. Still, you should close down a whole industry when you only got two? Well, the other one is forestry, logging. They come after us and try to close it down too. And many of the government officials that are involved in various parts of that are being run off. I didn't tell you you could walk around on my property. Did you see the signs of no trespassing? Well, I'm a government. I don't give a damn what you think you are. You will abide by that sign, or I will stick a bullet in you. Get. That's the consensus. Basically, the government has put the screws to just about every poor person. Well, Appalachia is primarily a poor area. It's not wealthy. So, you know, there's a couple. Well, why do you think they're burning the forests in the Rocky Mountains? It used to be you could go up in the friggin' woods, kill you an elk or a deer or something, have you a nice, decent cave with a little log cabin front on it to keep the bears from doing you a number while you're sleeping, and live just fine. All you needed was enough for matches and ammunition for your gun. And if you're careful about it all, a little dab went a long way. Can't do that now. They burn it down. They're trying to make sure that there is no independent escape capability. That's what the cabal has got in mind. Think about it. Why do you think fracking is so easily done when it destroys everything? That's cabal. That's the oil companies trying to tell the president what to do. The president has already said enough's enough. Now, here's the other thing. We need to outlaw fracking in the United States. If you don't like the idea of land looking like a moonscape, and I'm talking national forest, old bit, then your Bureau of Land Management needs to be told to mind their P's and Q's and cut the horse hockey with, we're going to drill for oil. We're going to mine for this. No. Leave it be. Maybe if people start running out of some things, they get the message that this is not a play games situation. So, you know, when you got those kind of things going on, I'm being nice about this. I have not gotten nasty as of yet, but I'm considering it. Now, let's play politics. Everybody knows what happened with Hillary and all that fun and games. Well, the Weekly Standard, December 3rd, 2018. Okay? Think about this very carefully. This is cover. Okay? The original sore loser man. This is politics. Running for office. What do you do? If you do not know history, it is bound to repeat itself. Oh, you want proof? In 1918, Henry Ford ran for the Senate and lost. Did he concede? Are you kidding? Hell no. He went ballistic. He felt cheated. The assurances of victory for the yes men around Ford. Does this sound familiar? Left him believing that fraud was the only possible explanation for his loss, which explains why Ford, in a fury at losing to this other guy, ordered his associates to put a gang on him. Let's see if I can find this here. Here we go. The gang was 40 private investigators on a Ford payroll. 40 private investigators. They decided to play proctologist with this guy by the name of Newberry. That was the opponent that won. He kept winning. Why? How did he do that? 430,000 Michiganers voted to send a new senator to Washington. It was November 5th, 1918. Final split was 220K to 212K. Ford was losing by 8,000 votes. They forced a recount. And what did the recount come up with? Well, Newberry actually did quite considerably better. And yet, difference wasn't very great. And when the recount finished, this is February 2nd, 1921. Now, this happened in 18, the 3 years. Newberry's vote count had fallen from 220,000 to 217,000. But Ford had gained a little, going from 212-4 to 212-7. Newberry won again. So they're looking at indictments. We're gonna do a number. Now we got a Democratic Congress that's full of it. You gonna do this? The guy was worried. You need to hold it down to around 50 so the indictments don't look like we're nasty. Well, they brought indictments against 135 people. Who? Justice rattled along. Arrangements began in December 1919. Senator Newberry and dozens of his campaign were put on trial the following February, accused of false statements and excessive spending in the Republican primary. Newberry and 16 others were convicted March 20, 1920. The senator was sentenced 2 years of hard time at Leavenworth Prison and a $10,000 fine. They're looking at playing games. There's a bunch of them out there. And you've heard them in the news here and there. They accidentally make the news from time to time. Looking at all these indictments, all these investigations, we can do a number on everybody. Really? Don't bet on it. Senate Committee on Privileges in Elections started county recounting. That's from March 20, 1920 to January of 21. And that's where Newberry came up winner again. You have to understand one thing. What does this sound like to you? Does it sound like a Mueller investigation? Does it sound like anything familiar? Hillary Clinton and the Democrats are pissed because they lost? Such a gross miscarriage of justice. So, and it continues. Nancy Mata was how it has influenced influential gangs. Wanted to gain control of the Senate and the country. Oh, boy. Now, the fun and games started when Ford said that he was unfit to be in the Senate. Yeah, that's right. A century later, ran for an investigation Gatory fury that may end up dwarfing Ford's relentless attack. Will it prove to be justice or just politics? I'll say politics. that may turn on whether the prosecutorial enthusiasts of today's politics find a way to fend off the seductive perils of Fordism. Woo. My, my, my. Now, you have a large load of Democrats that are new. They're no more sure about what to do than anybody else might who would be new at a job or a position or have a certain amount of authority and want to know what the hell's going on. Now, I've heard several rumors about all the horse hockey. One is that the House, no matter who's running it, has to get stuff passed the Senate, period. If you can't, it don't fly. That's pretty simple. The control was retained in the Senate, so that kind of puts a little bit of a smush to the fun and games. I have heard several timelines. One was that midnight last night, the fun and games were supposed to hit the rotating oscillator in humongous chunks. Everything is supposed to happen. Then I heard a revision of that to Monday. Then I heard nobody's going to do anything before Wednesday. And then I've heard that they're going to try to do it before the end of the year, but more probably after the first of the year. Well, I tell you officials what, keep dragging your feet and we'll tie your shoelaces together. We the people, generally, have had more than enough of the horse hockey and excuses and cop-outs. That no longer is flying with anybody that I know, anybody I have found. And that includes radical Democrats on the far left and radical conservatives on the far right. And when I say radical, I mean to the point where they would just as soon chop you up with something as look at you kind of people, especially if you're at odds with them. These ain't exactly nice people necessarily, and they are prepared to do things in the shadows. That's what these people have trained, a lot of them have trained and trained for, to be the will of the wisp, the ghost in the woods, and all that happy stuff. What happens if all of a sudden a couple people, pick somebody that's got a name, got a known name, disappears, and there is a note left that stipulates, and this is what I have heard, okay? This is not me. This is what I have heard. And the note stipulates, we the people have taken this person into custody for adjudication at a later date. Ooh. That means the government better straighten up, or somebody's going to get in there and use their feet to drive the airplane. We'll make you fly right if I kick the pilot hard enough in the right spot. I guarantee you we won't do a nosedive. The things that have been going on are interesting. Shortly after the Buenos Aires signing of the North American Free Trade Agreement, off and down the road to go to the G20, and contrary to what you've heard, I'm hearing good things. They say, oh, he blew it. Weak, weak, weak. He acted like a big pansy, sucking up to China. No, He stipulated quite simply, you had enough yet, or do we continue this for a few more years? Now, think about that very carefully. China has some serious internal problems. And it's a combination of finance. It's a combination of internal dissatisfaction at all kinds of different levels, specifically the people, and a lack of some of the things that they thought was going to go well. We just got done with General Motors sticking it in the place where the sun don't shine for of we the people. Well, guess what's happening in China? Same sort of layoffs. We got the biggest, baddest thing in my bob going in that planet, but we can't keep people employed. Really. How much of the GDP is spent on those islands? Huh? And if you got GDP, why do you got those empty cities? And I'm talking about big cities. Something that could hold 150,000 people or more. Empty. Yeah, that's right. Dubai does that shit. Builds all them things and then nobody moves in. Why? Well, none of the people, regular people, can afford it. That's why you got tent cities and our major cities on the coast, especially the West Coast. They can't afford that. It's more than what they make. Think about it. You get even if you divide it up, you still ain't going to have enough to maintain a car. And pay, you add utilities to that, and oh, my goodness, it starts getting painful. That's like having somebody use vice grips, grab hold of your hemorrhoids, and swing on them. Ooh, or your privates, whatever. You know, think of something nice and tender. So what do we do? Well, I have decided to keep my ear to the ground, and I'm not gonna divulge things that would screw stuff up. But I will divulge things as I come across them that may or may not be in our, we the people, best interest. They're supposed to reset this whole thing. Global currency reset is ready to go for the United States. The rest of the world probably won't be able to catch back up. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. I won't go into them all because each individual country and their and the currency involved, whether they're under the auspices of the European Union or what, makes no difference. we have the serious problem where the government is dictating to we the people this, that, and the other thing. Now, there is quite a heavy load of revolutionary action going on in France, going on in Italy, beginning to go on in Germany. Now, some of these other countries have looked at the European Union and thought they were a bunch of pansies because they weren't doing anything, refused to become involved. Well, fine. You stand back, we'll manage our own stuff. Oh, you can't do that. You're part of the Union. Dude, you're not telling us that we're going to take 100,000 refugees just because they don't like the conditions in their home country. We're not taking them. Several of the countries involved have put troops on the border to try to come across. They have orders to shoot you. You think we're nasty by using a little pepper spray and tear gas on the border? Now, some of them come over armed recently. The two with the guns are dead, and the other three are under arrest. And you want to keep it up? Bring it on. Baby cakes, you're in for a large surprise. Not only are law enforcement in general down in that area nervous about this, they are more than capable and ready to end you. You say you got a right to come to the United States. According to international law, no, you don't. Now, one of the surveys, 90% of the people involved in those caravans and or immigration efforts and whatnot don't qualify for asylum. Ooh, 90%. My. 90%. That means that only 500 out of a caravan of 5,000 qualify. Think about it very carefully. Oh, and I've seen the pictures that CNN and other people decided to put together as a photo op. Throw some tear gas on the ground or a smoke grenade or some such and run the kids through it, and, oh, they're just hungry kids. Oh, my. And Geraldo Rivera, yeah, I seen the fake tears in horse hockey. They're just hungry people. But how about put them all in your apartment and feed them? Yeah, let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to the nitty gritty where the rubber meets the road and make this real. You said it on Fox News, and there's a lot of people out there who are conservatives who take issue with the idea that somebody has the right to force their way into our country and get a bunch of benefits. Mm-hmm. See, it doesn't go through the welfare system when somebody immigrates. It goes through two other totally different systems. $1,700 a month. Think about it. Plus, no rent for 2 to 3 years on a nice condo. And food stamps. Come on, Geraldo. Let's get real. These people in the caravan are nasty mothers. There's only a very few women and children. Most of them are gang members and or crooks, been turned out of jail, just like Mexico did one time before when we were accepting people. Think about this very carefully. They took every nasty mother they had that was incarcerated and said, here's a map. Can you read the map? Oh, yeah. That way is north. Head that way. Tell America that they want you. They did that, literally did that. And that makes me question whether or not the southern border in Mexico was really manned very well by very many people, whether or not they were armed. I mean, you'd be amazed in how a crowd acts when you put some machine gun fire across their heads, up in the air far enough where you don't hit nobody, don't have to. Oh, man, all you're going to find is wet spots, and it can be straight-up liquid or brown spots, either way, heading off into the woods, trying to get away from that. Funny? Well, the fun and games hasn't started yet. People on our side have not opened fire en masse. Not yet. I heard they were going to try to rust the thing again. Well, do you think that we don't hear that stuff? Do you think that we don't have people involved in the caravan who report to us? If you really think that, you're kind of missing it big time. The problem we have is that the UK government said, we're going to open our borders and take in all the refugees that want to come here. That ain't what the people said. And in varying countries, they take a little town and they put double its population in refugees in town, dump them. People that have places that are rented, they throw them out. That's motels, hotels, bed and breakfast. That's apartments. I mean, it's not going to take very much when you rip scabs off of people, when you screw with somebody's mind, when you tell somebody that they don't have any value, when things get funky, there is a serious problem that comes up. And this is not going to be pretty. We have several things to consider here. Now, my opinion in terms of my position follows this coming song. I'll make a suggestion, and it's something I've made before and said before. You need to wake up to two possibilities. They're not probabilities yet, but they are strong possibilities. One, and it's not supposed to be allowed, would be a form of civil war. And I said a form of, meaning there would be occasional hot spots where you might find live fire. Then you have the other thing where you might need to heed the call of your country. A lot of people call these militias. Well, there are militias. A well-regulated militia is known. I'm a part of the unregulated, secret militia. There's a load of us. We don't particularly feel that the idea of a straight-up command specifically called for or controlled by the governor or someone else is a good idea. This is where the unregulated militia comes in. And this is where it can fit. If the Civil War scenario or horse hockey actually comes to fruition of any kind, what you're going to have is you're going to have a load, and I mean a big load, of people from urban areas, primarily inner city suburbs would be a good designation. And then there's the other one, a humongous number of people stuck in the city and there ain't nothing there. Food, water, the whole bit. They got problems. Why do they got problems? Because it's done. Remember the riots out west a few years back? Truck driver couldn't even drive a load of groceries in without getting pulled out of his truck and beaten. Well, what you're going to end up doing is similar to a road warrior deal. You're going to be able to have to take them in, and you're going to have to secure it on the way. The interesting part of all this comes down to a couple of different things. Are the liberal, antifa, socialist, nasty left really willing to go through those kind of bad roads in order to get to the conservatives? Is it the same kind of a case where we're calling you up to tell you that we're going to tear the campus down if you have that conservative on campus talking? Really? Who died and made you the big kahuna who's in charge of constitutional rights? You ever hear that? You would not be able to do what you do if it was not for those constitutional rights. Now, note, freedom of speech. That was one of the first things that was denigrated. So that was the First Amendment. Then they had a problem. They wanted the military, occupying military at the time, decided that they were going to disarm everybody. So a Second Amendment came into play. The reason they wanted to disarm us was because a bunch of farmers with pitchforks had defeated England's finest, their brightest. Oops. We have a whole bunch of things to deal with in the process of all this. Gun regulations. You guys better check this very carefully. Gun regulations may not go beyond what is stipulated in the Second Amendment and the Dick Act. Anybody says different, run them through federal court. See if the judge has got the guts to rule honestly. Now, that's right. You heard me. There's a lot of justices out there that ain't worth the toilet paper they use to hold their seat. Let's put it that way. And these people, a lot of them, are going to find out the hard way in a very short order. I'm hoping that not only have we the people had enough, but so has the have the officials. And I'm talking about the ones with the good guys. Supposedly, we're talking mass arrests. If you're a justice, supposed justice, titled of, and you're one of these squirrels, they're going to use hedge trimmers on your bushy tail, among other things. The fun supposed to hit all at once. The reason for that is that they don't want to have to chase very many people down through the woods to catch them. Anybody who tries to fly away will be force landed by the Air Force. The United States international border, all of them, will be closed for a period of 7 days. And so will the internet. Woo! Yeah, that's right. The reason for that is that during the last problem, some $2 trillion in a matter of 8 minutes were trying to be transferred out of the country. They caught them and stopped it. Well, now it's already in place. You try to do anything funny like that right now, and they'll drop a tank right in your living room. Guaranteed you're going to have a big, big, big problem. The military had assured me, and I'm not going to say when, but not too long ago, that all of this has been scheduled, and they're ready for a couple of other things to take place. God knows what those are. Whether it's we the people rising up and saying no, whether it's the implementation of martial law is unknown. But think about this. When we reopen for business, the banks will be reset, the currency will be reset, and society will be put on notice. You hate somebody because of the color of your skin, close your eyes. You heard me. The world, totally, the world is too small to segregate, period. Don't work no more. You have approximately half a dozen races. You can add or subtract from that, but basically, I have not ever had any problem getting along with somebody of a different color, unless they were full of something. But you have to understand, everybody on all sides, of all persuasions, of all belief systems, you're going to have to do a couple of things. One, take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Grit your teeth and go, I'm not subject to the horse hockey that somebody else has crammed in my ear. I'm not subject to the ideology of somebody else who doesn't have a clue. I have, through my race, relations all over the planet. You are a part of what is known as the human race. And yes, E.T. does refer to it as human race. Some of it is laughable. And I saw a cartoon the other day where this one E.T. was complaining to the other guys and says, hey, first they lobotomize a pumpkin. Now look what they're doing to the turkey. You know, I mean, hey, you look at this and you go, you know why they don't want to talk to us? Are we intelligent enough to get around our own ridiculousness? I think we are. What are you going to do if you meet an ET that really looks different from any type of a humanoid that you've ever seen before? You're going to freak out and go, be aware. You think they be ugly? What do you think they think of us? Oh, boy, it's the same thing. what has to be realized is that the truth of the matter, from what I've found so far, is as I have stated. Many of the things in the David Wilcock interview back in 2010, 2012 area was appropriate because it's happening. Think about that. It's happening. So, you know, where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us in a funny situation. And I don't know, too many ways to stipulate the difference. Let's see here. And most people don't get it, but they're a part of this. Most people don't look at it this way quite as openly, and yet, yes, they are, and there they are, and they're thinking about it. I want you to think about what this says. I've had quite a bit of intel come in upstairs, down here on the planet surface. People far and wide are trying to garner things that they now all of a sudden can't seem to get a hold of. a week or more? When? Maybe? Sort of, kind of, maybe? Are we going to see promises kept? Do we get more excuses and cop-outs? Well, now, outlaw state of mind stipulates very simply, what's your situation? And do you need to go to any extensive action to prove anything? You got nothing to prove to anybody except yourself and your loved ones. What you need to have is the answers to the questions. Outlaw, well, do you drive 5 miles over? Cheat a little bit here and there? If you do, the question, are you one, answers itself. Now, my question to you is, you look at the mess, everybody's kind of antsy. Everybody's kind of iffy. Everybody's kind of up in the air. Paranoid ain't hit yet. How do you feel in terms of what you would like to accomplish with all this? The final question is funky. What are you willing to do? Well, my suggestion is to acquire, accumulate survival gear, because if the thing shuts down, everybody in the big city is going to try to come to the country thinking they can get an ear of corn on the cob or something to eat, things of that nature. Maybe I could stay in your barn, or, maybe we just kill all the wildlife we'll come across. Well, there's certain areas that are already ready to prevent that. There are professionals who will be guarding the gates, so to speak, the only ways in and out of certain areas, and you will be turned. If you refuse to turn on your own volition, you will be turned permanently. That means turning up turnips, taters, planted, however you want to look at it. And I want to reiterate this. I have been hearing a load of people saying, hey, we ought to go down there and down to the border and shoot somebody. Well, I wouldn't do that. I already cautioned everybody off of that. What the militia needs to do is to reach out to people that have been on the fence for a while, the people that want to accomplish survival, that want to be what they know they can be. I know you ain't got to carry a gun. You can be a medic. You can be a cook. You can do laundry. There's loads of different ways, but there's going to be a certain amount of people needed who can, or at least have in their possession, the keys to the kingdom. In terms of pulling that trigger, well, if you got it, you got it. I don't like it. Didn't like it in Vietnam, but I did it anyway. really don't like the idea that I come home and it wasn't no better here than it was in Vietnam. Ooh, yeah, that's right. You heard me. A different kind of a war. More like psyops and horse hockey than anything else, but everybody needs to understand that each of us will be held accountable for either proactive or active decisions. And horse hockey, we're going to need to be able to both defend ourselves and assimilate people. Woo, yeah. We're going to need to be able to get the control of not only ourselves. I don't care what your preferences and all this other happy stuff. What I care about is this, getting the job done. And I don't know yet if the military is going to be calling for reinforcements, but I would strongly suggest that militias, and I'm talking about regulated militias, may be requested by the United States military to keep an eye on certain infrastructure things, like power lines and things of that nature, or power stations, or bridges. I mean, there's quite a wide variety. But the main thing, don't worry about convincing people. Tell them you'd like to have them do a comprehensive study on Venezuela. They like socialism so much? Show me how great it is. I'm here to tell you, there is another socialist party out there, still active today, still got websites, how they are able to come up in searches tells me that Google, Alphabet, Facebook, Twitter, all of them are lying to us. The only thing they're policing is people that are not liberal. Yeah, you heard me. Ooh, you said nasty things. I said, well, here's how it goes. And Facebook and all you people need to pay attention. It's real simple. When somebody tortures somebody, the old-fashioned justice system offered them the same. Bear that in mind. And everybody go out there, have a great day, glorious weekend, and get her done, my